Amen. Exciting, exciting day. How many heard that? How many knew about that announcement? Anybody? And there's a few of you. Okay. How many know where that property is? How many don't know? Okay. I didn't think he said it there. And I went over to Justin. I said, did he say where it is? Because we had been up here. I was up here a few weeks ago or months ago. We went out and looked at the property. And they've been looking at it for a while. And it's a New Hope Christian School that's on 70th. If you go down go on down and hit 70th and just take it out to New Hope Christian School. Real easy access, a big piece of property, lots of classrooms. And there's an auditorium that's going to be even better than this one. And so anyway, as God leads you forward in that, we're talking about moving to New Hope. And today I get to preach to you about hope. Is that a coincidence, you think? No, I don't think there's any connection, but it won't be. I don't think it's not be called New Hope. We're gonna stay where we are, what we are, and but anyway, today I want to talk to you about hope, because in today's world, the way things are changing, we're seeing all kinds of problems. We're seeing the problems that are out there. Well, let me start a different way. Let me say this: we need hope. Because we are believing God to do great things. Did we sing it? Wasn't that a good worship set? We were talking about our hope in God and what God is going to do in us, and nothing is impossible. And all those songs we sang were right along that line. And then there's hope in the sense of what's happening in the world and the way that we live in and the things that we're going through. And the Bible talks a lot about hope and the answer to hope. And so I'm just going to be able to touch on the surface today. And so I'm just going to try to say the things that I want to say, and hopefully it'll flow. If it doesn't flow, well, Chris will be back in 3 weeks. Justin's preaching next week, and you'll have a really good time all those times, okay? But anyway, let's have a hope that I could just share my heart with you about this subject and encourage you today in the life that you live and in the world that we're in. And pardon me? You hope so. That's good. So I want to start with 1 Corinthians 13:13, and I want to preface it with this statement. There are three lasting values that God says are going to go beyond this earth, this life. And they're the most important things to God. And if you read 1 Corinthians 13:13, and I know you've been in 1 John, so all you guys are in love with one another. You just love one another better. And Justin's going to talk about loving your enemies next week and the next week. And you're just in love with everybody. We're just in love. That's what church is about, right? Just being in love with God and love with one another and love with our neighbors and just love, 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 okay? And so this scripture talks about that. It says, so now faith, what lasts? So now faith, hope, and love abide. So your immaturities, you're seeing things seem dimly. All the childish things you do, all that's going to pass away, but love is going to go on. We know that love never fails, and there's a whole list about 10 things that Paul talked about in the section about love. But these three things, when it comes down to the end, these three things are going to last: faith, hope, and love. And we preach a lot about faith. I think most churches have a statement of faith about what you believe. We talk about faith for our lives, and we read, we do that often. We also talk about love, as you've been doing. You've been preaching love, and 1 John is a great book, along with the other two books from the Apostle of Love, John, and we do that. But you know what? There aren't that many messages that you hear on hope. So how does hope fit into the three things that last? And I wonder if we put enough emphasis on hope in living our everyday life, where our hope is, how we're going through the trials of life, and how we're maintaining our hope in God. And I really just want to encourage you today, it's as important as faith, it's as important as love to be a person of hope. So we're going to cover some things about that. Because I've been around the church a long time, and I know that there's a lot of problems in Christians' lives, a lot of discouragement in Christians' life. We should be the group of people on the earth that are the most encouraging, most joyful, most up-to-beat. We should be the people that when everything looks dim, we come along with a word of faith. We come along with a word of wisdom. We come along with a word of hope or knowledge or something that would lead people on past where they are. Because I'll tell you, there's a lot of hurting people out there. And there's going to be a lot more hurting people as we go on with the problems that we're facing out there. And people without Jesus, how are they going to cope with? How are they going to cope with all those things that are going to happen? Isn't that why we're here? Isn't that why we are following Christ, is that he's given us a mandate to go to all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples? And the fact is, he's with us all the time. I like the emphasis he started the prayer today, or started a prayer in the worship, by saying, and I've been corrected in this lately, that we pray, well, God, will you come, and will you do, and will you, and God, will you do this for me, will you do that? Instead of the reality of the fact that God says, I'm with you always to the end of the earth. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Call on me, and I'll answer you. He talks about praying, and he's right there. In the presence of two or three witnesses, there he's in our midst. He's with us all the time. He's not unaware of what's going on in our lives. And you know what? I have faith in that, don't you? And I also know that God loves me and all that. But sometimes I fall short when I'm going through something that's a little heavy. And saying, well, how am I going to get through this? Or maybe turn to something else to try and encourage me rather than God to try and get. Or maybe I try to find an escape to get around all the problems I have in my life. And I'll run to drugs or sex or games or whatever. All those things that are out there that would take and consume our lives. And so today, what I'm asking you is, how are you doing with your hope level? Where's your hope level? Here. Where's your faith level? Where's your love level? So forth. But it says faith is the substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for in Hebrews 11. And they're married together. Faith and hope, there's kind of a union between the two. And beyond that, it says love is the greatest of all these. So somehow we're going to make it to the end through faith and hope, and then remembering that love is what carries us through the whole thing. God's love for us. There's nothing that we go through that God's not loving us in it. That God's love is not there with us because his presence is there. You may feel he's way off somewhere and because it's a really big trial that you're going through, but he's never way off there. He's right there. And God is a good God. The Bibles have many, many scriptures about God is always good. The sovereignty of God is real. The sovereignty of God. God's plan for life now and up to the end. Up to the end of life as we know it, or the next generations will know it. God is sovereign over everything that happens. And the Bible says that all things work to good for those that love God, right? That love God and call and serve his purpose. But the next verse says, let me pull it up here. And I think we forget this one sometimes, but it kind of goes right along with it. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And so that part right there is that he knows he's there. We it's foreknown by him. It's predestined to us that he's going to conform us to his image. And how many of you found out that you change a lot better when you've got an obstacle in front of you and you have to work through it in faith and hope and love? You change and adjust your pattern better oftentimes through trials and tribulations and persecutions and difficulties and temptations and all those things, than you do by all the wonderful things that are happening when we're just full of, you know, all the joy that's happening. I thank God we're in a joyful time here. You know, and I don't want any hardships in my life. But it's, the truth is, after 73, I hate to say that, that sounds really old, and maybe some of you I've lost or I'll lose over this, but 73 years old, that how many things I've really gone through that have taught me the lessons of being conformed to his image. The came to a trial, which way am I going to go? Am I going to resort to the flesh? Am I going to go to the world? Am I going to let the devil destroy me? Or am I going to turn to God? Am I going to believe God's going to work me through this? Am I going to hang tough? Am I going to make it through this? And oftentimes I've learned the most from some of those things, the hardest things that we've gone. I'm still doing that, okay? Are you still doing that? If you're still doing that, you're in the right place today for the message that I have for you. I can already tell you I'm going to have to shorten the message because I'm preaching. But you guys are all aware. Those of you who know me are aware. Those of you who are new, I'm praying you'll be able to tolerate what, or learn quickly that this guy's okay and he's got a good word for us, okay? Let's go. So how are you doing with your hope level? You can exist weeks without food. Actually, I could go many more than a few weeks without food. And I could exist. You can exist several days without water, and you can only exist for a few minutes, without maybe not even that many minutes without a breath. And I believe this is true. You cannot go in through life without hope. Hope is something you need continually, all the way through to the end of your life. You need, here's a kind of a cliche statement, you need hope to cope. Come on, say it with me. You need hope to cope. Now, I don't like the word cope because cope is not resolve. You need hope to resolve issues. You need hope to cope with life. You need hope. You need to, when everything looks dismal or dim, you need to realize God is there and there is hope through this. And that's the thing that sustains us. I see these people committing suicide over stupid things. And I see people going to college and paying all kinds of money to go to college and then looking at the future. I got a grandson that's in almost his last year. He's only got one term after this year. And he's going into debt with all that. And then what is he going to do to pay that back? I mean, there are things out there that are just consuming to people that overpower people. And you wonder, how in the world are we going to get through some of these things? You look at the political issues. You look at the governmental issues. You look at the way the Congress leads us. Look at the way the president leads us. Look at the way your state is moving ahead with all that legalized marijuana. It's legal. I don't believe in drinking a lot. I think you can drink, but I don't believe in drinking a lot. I absolutely preach against drunkenness, but I've not preached the marijuana one yet. But apparently God says obey the laws of the land. I told Barb, next time we're in Washington, we're going to go get some marijuana. Lousy state. Then Oregon follows you. Oregon follows you, of all things, the state that I live in. Now it's now we have legalized as well. They just opened these dispensaries where you can go in and get marijuana. I have never sucked a weed yet, but I'm looking forward to it. Or whatever you call it. Whatever they are. Smoke the weed or... How do you do it? Listen carefully, Barb. I don't want you to be getting sick when we do this, okay? Now, this is totally not in my sermon, and that's oftentimes where I get into trouble. I'm so sorry about that. But no, I'm not going to try any. No, I wish it wasn't there. And at the same time, you know, drugs is a really big issue in our society. I was reminded of that yesterday morning. I came upstairs. I'm staying at Kate Brandon Moore's home, or actually I should say Jeremy, the head of the house, and Kate Brandon Moore. I stayed at their house, and I came up the stairs yesterday. I said, you think you got problems? Here's a friend of mine. There's 21-year-old son last night. Shot two people. He's in Alaska. Shot, and I was just up there and was with this family. Shot two people. The police are on an all-state manhunt for him. And they found out through the day, we text back and forth, we found out that he was held up in a, or holed up in a house, and he has a clip of shells that he still hasn't shot, and he says he's going to unload them. If the police get there, he's going to fire them all off at the police. And we're thinking, my word. This young boy, 21 years old, is a kid I knew growing up. I've known him his whole life. And I know the mother and father. They're people really close to me. And I said, you think you got problems? How would you like to have this one today? Where's God in the middle of all this? You know, and how you have hope in this kind of thing when his life dramatically changed? So I said, well, we'll pray. And we prayed. I prayed through the day. I prayed out loud with these guys and just asked that they would arrest him without him being killed. If you start shooting at the police, you know what they're going to do? They're just going to lay their guns down and not do a thing. No, they're going to put the rifle on you. You're going to blow your head off if they get a chance. I mean, they're going to stop you. They're not going to let you kill them or shoot at them. So anyway, he found out that his dad Facebooked him. They had a connection somehow. Told him to turn himself in, and that he actually did turn himself in. And he got arrested. And the two people he shot didn't die yet. We hope they don't die at all. But for God's mercy. Because this kid is gifted and talented. And really, God, he's created for God's glory. Not this kind of thing. But he's messed up in drugs. You get in that drug world, I'll tell you what, it's not a peaceful world. If people don't like you, you end up in fights. And you might even get shot, just like is happening right there. That's a little bit too much about a personal thing, but it fits real life where we are. Here are some statements about hope. And I just want to read these so for time it moves a little quicker. You need hope to cope. Hope keeps your soul alive. Without it, you're going to struggle to keep your mind, will, and intel in your health, your body, soul, and spirit, that all healthy in God. Without that. So hope keeps your soul alive. Most people don't understand the things about hope. Hope is not about wishful thinking about the future. It's not just that or some pie in the sky thing that if I just keep hoping this is going to happen. I want the world. I'm just going to get it because I have hope in God. And some people look at it that way. But the fact of life is this. We need hope. We need hope now. You're going to need it today. You're going to need it when you wake up in the morning. Not just because you need the hope, but the fact that you have to face a real world when you get up every morning. And you need it every day to go through that day and to make the next day. Here's a statement. Hope is not optimism. I've taught messages on optimism. Optimism is a positive thing, but it's not optimism. Optimism is psychological. It's about, and hope is not is more theological. It's more about who God is, how well you know God, how well you read your scriptures and understand how God thinks. And you understand in a rhema way, hearing God and listening to God and seeing God work, how God works through situations. It's about worship. It's about our heart and our passion to serve God. And if you let you get defunct in those things, and your life will go like this when it comes to hope. It's true with faith. It's true with love as well. And what lasts? Faith, hope, and love. Love being the greatest thing. We do church now, that'll be gone. It'll be about the things that we are internally, that God is changing from glory to glory as we live every day. And we can't go a day without it. You need hope. You need hope because you're going to live, not because you're going to die or because things aren't going to work out. So it's not optimism. Optimism is psychological, but hope is theological. Optimism is personal trust in what you can do to follow God. Now, we do everything we should do, we could do to follow God. But that's not hope. That's optimism. We stay optimistic about what when we have a problem, we're going to make it through this. We stay optimistic as Christians because we know Jesus is our Savior. That we have him with us always. Optimism is often a denial of reality. So I just try to work through this thing I'm going through today, and then tomorrow I hope it's better. And if I can just get by this one, then I can make it to the next one. If I can just get by some way. If I can just find some Band-Aid to put on sometimes. It'll just cover the wound. I'm bitter, I'm unforgiving, I can't get past that, but if I just don't think about it, it's going to get better. No, it's not going to get better, because there's no hope in that. That's just a pie in the sky kind of a thing where you think that if you just don't think about it, it'll go away. How many realize those things don't go away? God is the only way they go away. The memory will last, but the proper action, proper thing that you should do when facing something in God solves and eradicates the problem. And forgiveness and reconciliation and compassion and all those things that go along with believing God for one another, that we are going to get better and better as we serve God. Do anybody have that hope? That you're going to get better and better? That God does want to change you? That God is changing you? And that God knows what you're going through, and maybe this is something you need to go through? And I'll tell you, when you get to the theological study of this, I listened to John Piper talking to interviewing Rick Warren, and they were talking about it from a theological standpoint when they were questioning Rick Warren about his book, Driven by Purpose? Perfect, what is it? Yeah, Perfect Driven Life, and then there's a book about the church, Purpose Driven Church, and then he also is writing a book right now. How many know he lost his son committed suicide, he spent 3-4 months off and didn't do anything, and then he began to think about his life and where it is and what's going on with his church. He spent 6 years writing a book. It's going to come out here. It might be out already, about hope. He says this is a year. We're going to emphasize this the whole year, because there's such a need in our society for Christians to understand things are bad and things are going to get worse. People out there are going to have more and more problems. And we have the best message for those people if we're on top of our own lives in Jesus. Man, that's exciting to live in this day. I already said my age, 73, but if I could start all over again right now, I need a drink of water. Come on, let's go. You young people, I wouldn't be discouraged with a debt, college debt. Things you're facing as you look at the world and everything the government's doing and leave for your benefit, which is not your benefit. But I would not be discouraged at all, because you know what? God knows what's going on, and you just have to take it one day at a time, and he'll be there with you, and he'll show you the way to get through it. Does that sound simple? Well, I'd rather live a simple gospel life than any other kind of life, because God is not that difficult to understand. He makes things simple. He makes things simple so that by faith we can look for the impossible. And he puts hope out there, which is a substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. He's always wanting us to look forward to those things that we hope for. So, where did I leave off? Sometimes optimism is you just kind of get through it. I said already. You get through a particular moment or circumstance, if you can just make it through it, but hope doesn't do that. This is one of the titles of my message. Hope is always about reality. We stay grounded in the reality of who we are in Christ. We stay grounded in our identity in Christ. We stay grounded in our life that God gives us the truth, the way, and the life to live. We stay grounded in the rock. What do you think is with the buildings built? It's on a rock or sand. Which one do you want, sand or rock? Doesn't that sound like something better than sand? It's solid, and that's why those three things are going to stay. So hope is always about reality. Yes, it's bad. It's really, really bad. But I really believe that God can bring us through this, because overall, God is in control. It could be that some of us are going through things in our marriages, or we've lost a loved one. As I mentioned, the family that I talked about with you earlier, you get your dreams are crushed. You haven't found the right mate yet. You just can't wait till you have more money to buy a house. You're living in a little shack, or you just don't have enough food to eat, or whatever. Or you're plagued with life-dominating problems. If you're plagued with life-dominating problems, God is there to take care of a problem. And it shouldn't dominate your life, and he'll deliver you from that. Now, does that bring hope to anybody? That's talking in general, but if I could talk to each of you about the thing you're going through right now, you know what? The scripture says, why don't you turn and look at the scripture? It says this about your subject. Because the scriptures build hope. There's 7,000 promises in the Word of God to talk about hope and to build your confidence in them, in God. Some things just will not work out. Some things will never change. Some people will never be what you want them to be. But you know what? There's still hope for them. You've got a lost child that went away from God, and you think they'll never come back. Don't believe the lies that come into your mind about things like that. Because those are lies. Some things will never work out, or some things will never change, or some things will always stay. You're always, I use this phrase a lot, if anybody says to me, you never do this, or you always do this, or that's just the way you are. I something in me just kind of rises up saying, don't say that to me, because you're lying. You never can use always. It's not always. Maybe sometimes, maybe a lot of the time. Maybe that's the way that's your propensity. Or maybe that's what you act like a lot. But you can't say always. Because yesterday I didn't do that. You can't say it about me, Tom. I didn't do it. You might think I'm that way all the time. I'm not. Yesterday I was not that way. I was actually nice to a person yesterday. or other days. But nothing works well. Where do you get real hope? Where do you really get it? And the reason we need to look for where we get it is that we live on a broken planet. Nothing works well. Christianity has never worked perfectly since Jesus was born. Since Jesus was born and Jesus was raised from the dead, Christianity has never gone forward perfectly. If you studied the history of the church, the history of Christians, there's always been problems. And Christians died for their faith. Christians were hung for their faith. You know, the Romans did a pretty good deal with Christians. And we're living in a day. You think this ain't going to be any different for us? You know, we're going to face things as we go on. It's more against maybe what we believe. Or the issues of what we believe are going to be confronted by the issues of how the world has made decisions about some of the things that are changing, that are not biblical or not right or not even maybe against your convictions. And the question is, what are you going to put your hope in? Are you going to sell your soul out because there's a law or there's a rule or there's a politically correct way to live or whatever? Or are you going to stand for Jesus all your days? Tell you what, if I can do it, I'm going all the way. And I don't need to talk anymore about that, but that's the heart that we ought to all have, because that's where you get it from. Nothing works perfectly. The weather doesn't seem to work perfectly. Mexico's having a little bit of trouble right now. The economy doesn't seem to work perfectly. I don't know, maybe you haven't noticed this, but even your body doesn't always work perfectly. Have anybody found that out yet? How about relationships? Does every relationship you have work perfectly? I mean, is there anything in this world that works perfectly? Now, you might say, I have the perfect marriage. And I say, if you got the perfect marriage, let me spend some time with you because I could really learn to grow a lot in my marriage. The only person I think I won't even go there, if they think they have a perfect marriage. But your career, your plans, the things that are out there, nothing works perfectly on this planet. You know why? Because it's a broken planet. Somebody had the word brokenness today. And what did you say that in your prayer about brokenness? God comes in our brokenness because that's where we live. We live a lot in that. It's around us all the time. So we look at the Bible, what the Bible says about hope. 1 Peter 1:21 says, because God raised Christ from the dead. Promises come from Christ being raised from the dead. And he gave him great glory that your faith, here again, that marriage of those two things together, your faith and hope can be placed confidently in God. I like the word confidently. I've coached for years, and you know what? If I'm coaching a kid and he doesn't have confidence to go to the plate and make a swing at the ball and stand up there aggressive, he's probably never going to hit the ball. God understands baseball. God understands when the pressure's on, coming down the end, Seahawks are losing again, and or they're ahead and they're going to win the game, but Cam Newton steps back and with a rifle arm, with the quickest release in football, hits his target down there, and the Seahawks are going, oh. No, the Seahawks are actually sleeping. You got a defensive back over here and a defensive back over here, and the tight end runs right down the middle of them, and one looks at the other, and one looks at the other. Oh, who's going to get him? Well, nobody's going to get him. He's going to drop the ball in the end zone. Cam Newton throws the ball right on the mark, and the guy catches it, and he goes like that, and he just, oh. Seahawks just go back to the same thing they felt the last four games, what they lost like that, thinking, oh, what did we do? We just should have won that game. What's happened to us? Oh, my word. I'm so discouraged. I'm just going to give up. I'm not even going to watch the Seahawks anymore. How about you? Because I'm just so discouraged. I've got no hope for them. Oh, but remember last year, they started out 2-3 or something like that, and then they won 6 in a row or whatever. And I don't know why the side trips come in my preaching, but they just come. What do the Seahawks have to do with hope? Because after it's all over, it's just a game. Joe? Anyway. That comes into my preaching too. I'm sorry. A little chastisement. This is a fact. You've got to put your hope in something that does not change, and that is God's love for you. That is what it is. That it's never going to stop, and it's never going to change. You can live with a lot of hope if you can do that. With it, you have a future. Without it, your future is really messed up. The way you look at the future gets all blinded. It's cockeyed. If I just have a little bit of, if I have a solid foundation of God's promises, then I can believe for better days ahead. When somebody gets a sliver of hope, then the door opens. They start to believe anything is possible. I want to sing that song we sang the first one today as we end the service. What did the song say? Nothing is impossible. Now we use that a lot of times to encourage ourselves in ministry. But I use that a lot when you're going through troubles, when you're going through impossible things and you don't think it's ever going to change. I like to use it there as much as I do for, okay, we can reach the world. We can reach this area. What we're doing right now and moving to a different building will actually serve us better. But you know what? It isn't the building. It really isn't. Some of you might not like it because it's a different place you have to drive on Sunday morning, and you may never come back to the church because it's a different place to drive because it's such a problem. Or some of you might get there and you find out there was something you really liked about this building that's not in that building. And man, that is terrible. We should have never made this decision. I'm telling you the truth. Because I did it. We went from a building to a Walmart. I did everything I could to encourage the people that when we go there, it's for our benefit. We're going to reach the community better. Everything we do in the present spot is space. Difficult or space stops us from growing. And I talked this for 2 or 3 years as we were making that move. And we got over to the Walmart, and it was a bigger room. And we had this room that was kind of like this, only a little bigger, 400 people in it, but we're all filled and we're sitting there, and it's really cozy. It's family. We just feel so good. We know where our seat is. We know what's going to happen every week. We know how the lighting is. The bald head doesn't bother us there. There's all kinds of things. The chairs, the people I sit around. And we went over there and we built this place. It was wide and it was wider and more space. And you know what some of the complaints were? And people actually left the church over it. Is that it doesn't feel the same. It just doesn't feel the same. if you're going to my church, and that's all it is, if that's the way you feel, that's all you're getting out of what we're doing, then you need to go to another place. Because that's not about that. It's about whether or not we're going to extend the kingdom and go forward. I heard your pastor. I love that pastor right there with all my heart. I love that guy. And I'll tell you, he's been a real strength to me over the years. And you guys are blessed to have a pastor and a pastor's wife like those two right there. You are blessed. You can put your hope in their leadership. And if they, like you said, if you have any problems with it, come and talk to me. Take advantage of it. He'll even get better as you do it, okay? Take him up on that. He's on vacation when he gets back. Bring him back to reality. Tell him, well, anyway. The devil's number one weapon against us is to discourage us, create fear in our life, disappointment, hopelessness, to question God, raise a doubt against keeping our trust in God. Something to cause us to turn our trust to something else to handle that thing. Don't believe everything you read. Don't believe that that's the answer to all your problems. Don't believe it says you shouldn't eat eggs now. Or no, you can eat eggs now. No, you shouldn't eat eggs now. No, you can read. Depends on what article you read. Used to be no cholesterol. You don't want any cholesterol. But there's good cholesterol and there's bad cholesterol and all that. How about sugar? Well, let's have what are they? Splenda and some of those other things that taste like yuck. And then there's sugar. And they find out now that gives you cancer and all this. So I'm going to go with the sugar myself. I'm just going to go down with the sugar. I've eaten the sugar all my life, and I like the taste of sugar, and I don't like the taste of the other. I'm 73 years old. Why should I change? God, my hope is in God, not in sugar or Splenda. Come on. It's that serious. It's that serious out there. They're picking at little things like that, and we get involved with that stuff. And we should be involved in the kingdom and not have time to even get into that kind of stuff. All right? So there's lots of scriptures. God is saying faith, hope, and love is the last thing Paul says. And somewhere in your inner knower, you got to get to the point where you're going to live in hope your whole life, and that things may get bad, they could even get worse, but I'm going to stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. When I believe in God's in control, then in Him there are better days ahead. In Him there's better days ahead. The way to avoid discouragement is to ask yourself the question, do I believe the promises or do I believe in that are in God, or do I believe the circumstance that I'm going through right now? Or the trouble I have right now. Do I believe that's going to consume me? What are you going to do? You're going to make a choice every time you get to that point. And if you're a person that understands to the end, I need faith, hope, and love's going to carry me all the way through that stuff. You're one that in your inner knower, you get to the point where you say, I'm in Him, and there's better days ahead, and I can't see the end right now. But you know what? Somehow this will work good. And you live long enough, you see it's true. How do you like this scripture? Romans 15:4 says, "And for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." Everybody say hope. Encouragement of the scriptures that we might have hope. Listen to this one. Hebrews 10:23-25. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." I broke that down to phrases. Hold fast means to seize, not let go. To continue to hold, to keep possession of. Now, we're not going to ever have a relational problem, you and I, because you stand up right now. I'm going to show you why. Because you may not like what I did today, or you might not like the message. If you don't, I pray for you. But you know what? My relationship with you is never going to change. You want to leave? Go ahead. Try to leave. Go ahead. Get away from me. How are you going to do it? How much do you weigh?
170.
Well, I weigh a little bit more than that. If I ever get you down, you're not getting away. You know what? Then I'm going to hang on. I'm going to hang on to my relationship.
I'm going to hang on. That's what this scripture's talking about. We're going to hang on.
Yep.
When we're going through things, we're going to hang on.
It's not like I like you. Oh, I'm good. I love you today. Now you got a problem. Well, if you don't like it, well, just hit the road, buddy. Go ahead. No problem. I don't need you.
Go ahead and sit down.
But that's what the scripture's talking about. Sometimes we think, well, it's just going to be easy to go through things. No, it's not. You're going to have to keep your hands around what it says here. You got to do what it says. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Hold fast. That's to see. The confession. That's the profession of the profession of the gospel. That's what's ours. That's what we have in Christ. I'm going to hang on to that. I'm not going to let that. My confession is going to be the thing that leads me to salvation. With my heart, I believe, but with my mouth, I confess that Jesus was raised from the dead, where my hope resides. Come on. Just get a little excited about this message, would you please? Because our hope, the confession of our hope, that is our expectation, the thing which our hope rests upon. The mind, will, and emotions being directed toward what God saved me for. The fact that he died for me. He took my sins. I'm justified. I'm cleansed. I'm totally his because of what he did for me. My sins are forgiven. My sins will be forgiven because I've come under the blood of Jesus and he's freed me from all those sins. And I continue to confess my trust and my faith and my hope in him. Without wavering. You got to do it without wavering. That's to be firm, unmovable, upright, not inclining, not leaning. Sometimes you go through things and you say, I just can't stand this. I just don't know how. You know what? Get back up straight and stand up straight. If I were coaching you again in another sport, in wrestling, you know what I would do? First thing I'm going to work at when you're going to face your opponent, I'm going to say, you better get in a stance that you can move with. You can't let that guy get to your legs. You can't get him get to your chest. You got to be the one that finds the weakness in that person. Did you wrestle? You should have wrestled. Well, you look big enough to wrestle. But anyway, huge. I didn't have him stand up and try to keep him from running away. I tell you. But you'd work on the stance. What does it say in Ephesians 6 about wrestling spiritually? The first thing you do before you put on the armor of God is you stand. You get in a good. And it really is talking. It's talking about a proper stance, a Greco-Roman wrestling position. That's what it's talking about. Because he who promised, the one who announced this, is the one who gives you the promise, is faithful. Trusty. He's trusty. God is trusty. When everybody else is unfaithful, who's going to stay faithful to us? Timothy, right? He's trusty. He shows himself trusty. He can be relied on. The one who keeps his trust. And I got... when I was down in California those years, I was at Ray Johnstone's church in Bayside, and I talked about Rick Warren writing a book on hope. He spent 7 years writing a book on hope called the HQ quotient, your hope quotient. And he has in that book, I was going to read him, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to do it. You'll have to get the book. But there's things that you can do to have a high quotient, high quotient, high hope quotient, if you would just practice these eight things, and you could preach a message on each one of those. And I might do that sometime. Maybe I'll get a chance to preach another one here, or maybe not. Depends on what Chris says when he hears the message today. But anyway, I want to close the service, and I want the musicians to come forward. And I want to sing this. I want to sing that song we sang at the beginning. And I want to sing it in faith. I want to sing it with a new view on what you're going through. I don't know what's in your life right now, and I don't know how you're living and what kind of things you're dealing with. I felt like pretty sure that this is the right word for today. That at least somebody here needs to hear this. And we're doing a series. This is not new here. We started a series down in Lebanon, things we're going through about hope. And we're going to stay in it for a while. We're just going to camp out there for a while. Because there's so many things you can learn about hope. This Celebrate Recovery, I see Dennis sitting here. You know what? That's one of the great, best things you guys are doing around here, is that you're making a way for people that are without hope to come in and find hope, to realize they're not dominated by that. They can be free of that. The things you're doing with the food and the harvest and the things you're doing by touching those people that are out there, you know what? I'm just telling you this. God is 100% with you in those things. You don't have to question if God's with you in them. You can throw your support into it. You can throw your money into it. You can throw your help into it, because God is concerned about it. He said, one of the last things he said to the Galatians is, you can do all these things, but listen to this. Don't forget the poor. It's not the poor that can't help themselves. It's just the poor. It may be those that could help themselves that aren't helping themselves, but you keep helping, because you know what? God cares about every person that's out there. He cares about the rich, but oftentimes the rich, they won't listen. But the poor, you keep reaching out. You'll find some of those that are going to respond to you. And I want you to deal with yourself today. And I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to have you to raise your hand or anything else. But I don't like singing songs these days that are really like this by myself up here. I really like people that say, that message fits me. I want to get up here in front. And I want to get and sing that with my whole heart, and I'm going to quit. I'm not going to be distracted by anything around me. I'm just going to sing that song as a confession of my faith. And so if you're dealing with anything, if you know you are, take a step up here. Let's sing that together. Come on, let's just do that. Let's see what God does with us when we leave this place. Can we do that? Okay, let's all stand. Get ready to run. Run forward. Come on up here with me. And come on.